As promised this morning, we're going to speak on knowledge this evening. It's something that we all need, something that most people think that they have enough of, and quite frankly, it's some things that most people need more of. And I know we all have different levels of knowledge relative to certain things. Some people go to school and they learn about a particular subject or an aspect of a particular subject that they may be entitled to wear the title expert. But we all need knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the passage chosen to serve as our text this evening, we find the Apostle Peter, guided by the Spirit, writing, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." It's incredible to me, in spite of the fact that we are living in the information age, the level of Bible knowledge seems to be at a near all-time low. I remember hearing people talking about the claim that was made by other people relative to members of the body of Christ back in the 60s and early 70s. In fact, they were described as walking Bibles. They could tell you where certain passages were found. They could tell you where many passages were found. And they knew how to apply those passages. Knowledge was then as accessible as it is now. But there are so many people that don't have it. Knowledge is vitally important to our well-being, particularly when it comes to our spiritual well-being. You might go through life not knowing about the intricacies of an internal combustion engine, and you do okay. It's called AAA. And you call them and tell them to come get you. You're broken down. You might very well not have knowledge of the multiple facets of the human body, but you know when your body is hurting. You know when something's off. And so knowledge is necessary. When it comes to spiritual well-being, knowledge is imperative. Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse 32, said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What if we didn't have the knowledge of Christ? What if we didn't have the knowledge of God and His blessings and the plan that He has laid out for humanity? The lack of knowledge can have disastrous results. You know, I struggled getting through school, partially because of my own fault. I didn't feel like I needed a lot of the things that were being taught there. And it wasn't too many years, and I, looking back, said, you know, I wish I'd have paid attention in that class or this class. Because some of the things that they were saying there were things that I would need. And then I was facing a situation in which I had a lack of knowledge. But that is of greater importance when it comes to our spirituality. I want you to turn with me to perhaps one of the most well-known and well-used scriptures relative to having lack of knowledge. It's found in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We know that God had a people in the Old Testament chosen for a specific purpose, and He had given to them the laws, the commandments, the direction that they were to take in serving Him and in doing His will and in being favorable in His sight. And notice what Hosea was prompted to write. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It wasn't because they were afraid, although at times they were. It wasn't because they were hindered, although at times they were. They were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Notice, if you will, what the Lord said and why He said it. He said, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." In other words, that knowledge was readily available. Back in Deuteronomy, they were told to teach these things diligently to their children. They had it to teach. They had it available. But he says here in Hosea, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. The lack of knowledge on the part of the adults affects even the children. And the same is true today. We fast forward through time, a number of centuries, and we see in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, the reaction of people because of a lack of knowledge. And we see that this situation that had existed in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, still exists even today. Notice what the Spirit had Paul write to the Roman brethren. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Why were they all these things? Because they rejected God. Because they rejected the knowledge of God. Notice in verse 31 it says, without understanding. Why are they without understanding? Had they not been told? Had not the word been preached to every nation under heaven? They were covenant breakers. They were without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. No knowledge of God equals death. Destruction for eternity. Is it important? Yes, it is. Sometimes people have zeal, and they have it without knowledge. Zeal is worthless and even dangerous without knowledge to accompany it. And as you turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, I know that every one of us has been in a situation when somebody asked us if we could do something, if we knew how to do something, and we readily agreed to it, that we knew it, we had zeal, but we really did not have the knowledge. And perhaps we got by. But it can be dangerous. Relative to Israel, we find in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, they had a zeal of God. And zeal of God is important. However, it has to be according to knowledge. The Apostle Paul said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. It was his desire that they be saved. And they had a zeal of God. They were going about doing things in service to God, but not in accordance to what God had directed. Zeal is eagerness and ardent interest in pursuit of something. They went about serving God the way they felt it needed to be. He needed to be served. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like today when people are going out and say, you know, I don't like the way they do it over there. I'm going to do it my way. The Apostle Paul writes of his situation as directed by the Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And he talks about a time in which he was ignorant. And there's nothing wrong with realizing that in the past that you have been ignorant on some things. Now when I say ignorant, it doesn't mean without learning. It doesn't mean without knowledge of something. But it also means that you must change your situation once you come into possession of the knowledge of what is right to do. Notice what he talks about. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul was one of those, when he was known as Saul, who had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And he went about and he sought to destroy the church, who the Jews thought were just an upstart bunch, doing things the way that they felt they should be done. But Paul points out he did these things ignorantly and in unbelief. And I think we have proper evidence to show that when Paul was instructed in the right way, that he did those things that he was instructed to do. He began to follow it in accordance to knowledge. The point is here, we cannot remain ignorant. We cannot remain in a situation without knowledge. Well, I don't really want to know that because I won't be responsible for it. I've actually heard people say, well, I'm glad I don't know as much as so-and-so because I won't be held as responsible as that person. Listen, when it comes to the Word of God, we're going to be held responsible for absolutely every word that is written that is applicable to us in the New Testament. Another important fact is without adequate knowledge, we cannot teach others. I have seen personally on at least two occasions people who have a zeal, who have been converted, that have been shoved off into the classroom to teach other people when they themselves have not been taught. It's disastrous. And then we have our children spouting denominational doctrine because that's what they've been taught in the class, and the person being well-meaning and having a zeal but not being taught or teaching things that are wrong. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, we know that the Lord had picked these men as apostles. He had instructed them. He had provided them. He had also instructed them and told them that they would be receiving the Comforter who would guide them into all truth. And he told them, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That teaching is not a one and done. It's something that's continuous, ongoing. And the learning must also continue. But to teach, one must have knowledge. That's why the Lord provided them with this Comforter. Now, he did not take these apostles and say, you know what, guys, I've spent 3 years with you, and I've given you good instruction. I want you to take this, and I want you to go out, and I want you to teach other people. Yes, he sent them out, but he sent them out with all the support and all the information that they needed. And they must have that knowledge in order to teach. We see this same thing continuing a little further as the church is more established and more complete in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Notice this young preacher Timothy. Some might would say that he was one of Paul's proteges. In 2 Timothy 2, 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That is the way the Word of God is spread, and it's important. It is impossible to do so if knowledge is not attained. As we look at knowledge, we need to ask ourselves, do I know more today? And I'm talking about in the spiritual realm, in according to God's Word, do I know more of God's Word today than I did a year ago? And if the answer is no, you're going the wrong direction. Because without adequate knowledge, we can even be misled ourselves. How many of us know someone who one time knew the Word of God, could quote Scripture, was very quick to point out the error of others, who they themselves are now in error, living that way? That's why the Spirit had Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, write these things to Timothy so that he might be warned, so that he might keep the things that were committed to him. I'll get it out in a minute. There it tells us, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred according to the faith, or concerning the faith, and grace be with thee. Amen. We need to understand that we've got to have knowledge, not only to check others, but to check ourselves. Also relative to knowledge, know that some will not walk the way they should walk. And Jesus said about those particular people in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14 that they are to be left alone. Why did he say this? Let them alone that be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If neither of them have knowledge of where the ditch is and they're blind, they're going to ultimately fall into the ditch. They're going to harm themselves or hurt themselves. And in so doing, hurt others. We don't want to see anybody hurt. We don't want to see anybody harmed. We do not want to see a single soul depart this life not ready to spend eternity in peace and comfort. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 speaks of this. As the Apostle Peter was directed by the Spirit in this general apostle, he writes, "Wherefore, beloved," seeing he's writing to the church, "seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do to other scriptures, also to their own destruction." We need to understand that not everything in the Bible is easy to understand. One of the most disheartening things is for one Christian to go to another Christian and say, "What's your take on this or that?" It doesn't matter what their take is. What does the Word of God say? What is knowledge? What knowledge do we have relative to these things? Notice in verse 17, he says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." I find it incredible how that one who once knew the Word of God, knew that it was important to handle it aright, that they fall from their own steadfastness. We oftentimes ask our question, I ask ourselves the question, how does this happen? It's because we do not retain the knowledge that we once had. We're not diligent about it. And we must be diligent about adding knowledge to our character. We need to try to steadily increase in our knowledge. And it's incredible to me that people will go out and spend thousands of dollars to receive an education so that they would be knowledgeable in a certain thing. And they can't find time to read Scripture. They can't find time to do Bible lessons. They can't find time to spend time in the Word of God. Again, we go back to our text, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." How many of us would grow physically if we failed to put food into our bodies? Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of us could possibly refrain from that for a little bit. And perhaps we would lose a little weight. And perhaps because of that, maybe our clothes would fit better and that sort of thing. But what if we stopped? I've had enough food for my life. That might be a true statement, because our life would soon end. Now think about it from a spiritual standpoint. People are walking around and seem to have the attitude that they have enough spiritual food for their lifetime. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior." We must be diligent. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we see the Apostle Paul writing, again, as he was directed by the Spirit, since all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he says to them there, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You know what? The congregations of the Lord's body that meet in various places in this country and in this state would be filled if people would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If they would look into the Word of God, if they wanted to absorb that knowledge, that information that is there. Verse 10 tells us that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I remember hearing a story about a young man that walked up to a preacher who was well known to be able to quote large passages of Scripture. And he walked up to that preacher and says, "You know, I'd give half my life to be able to quote Scripture like you." And the preacher looked at him and said, "Son, I already have." The point is that he spent time working at it. He spent time in effort and putting himself to the task. With such knowledge, we are to be quite useful to each other to the benefit of the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, again we see the Apostle Paul. The words of the Apostle Paul is given by the Spirit. He said, I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Listen, able also to admonish one another. Why? Because we know what the truth is. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, here once again we have the Apostle Paul writing to this young preacher Timothy, writing as the Spirit gave him direction to do, penning these words so that we might also have them, that we might also benefit from them. And notice what he tells Timothy to do. Meditate upon these things. We might very well say, you know, I'm not quite sure what meditate means. Well, it's explained in here. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Now, we don't learn the Word of God so that people say, oh, look at him, he's smart. We learn the Word of God so that we might walk according to it. We obtain knowledge, of course, through the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, we'll see that this very same thing is the case with Timothy. And some might argue and say, well, you know, Timothy had it better than us because the Apostle Paul laid his hands on him. I don't know that he had it any better than us, because we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, no less than what Timothy had. But notice what he was told there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Listen at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. As a small child, he was directed through the scriptures. And then we see in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And that word perfect there means whole or complete. We have everything that we need, and we obtain knowledge through the study of that which God has given us. We also obtain knowledge through learning from others. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, we see the tale of two sisters. One of them was diligent about serving, making sure that everybody was taken care of, perhaps involved in the social aspect of things. But we see here that she had a sister. He had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In fact, I think when a question was brought up about that, it was said that Mary had chosen the better thing. She had chosen the better part. This knowledge is available, and we should reinforce it continually. We see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, this is exactly what does occur, that we are to learn for others. We see in that particular situation, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. Paul was going to be leaving. And notice what Paul did there. He continued his speech until midnight. I suspect today, if a preacher went a little longer than he normally should, that he would be chastised, at least would be looked at funny as people left the building. I have no qualms with saying that there's no way that I could preach from now to midnight, but I get tired as fast as you will. But notice these people, they were hungry for the word, and it encourages a preacher when he sees people paying attention and looking. These people were hungry for the Word of God. But the kind of study that produces growth and that produces knowledge requires diligence. I think I probably mentioned this also, that in school I often wished that I could take my book and lay it on the table and put my head on the book and absorb some of the information therein by osmosis. I think I tried it a time or two, and all I got was a sore ear. We cannot get it that way. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and besides this, listen, giving all diligence. Those people who say, well, you know, I've read through the whole Bible and I still don't understand it. That's all you've done, is read through the whole Bible. Have we studied? Have we been diligent? But in addition to knowledge, we must also grow in grace. Again, back to our text. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We need to aid our children in the growth and knowledge by teaching them when they are small, and we must teach them the Word of God. I alluded earlier to a passage in Deuteronomy. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. And the way that the parents there were instructed to teach their children. If you'll turn there with me, we're going to read this. And we're going to see the things that they were told to do. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. In other words, you're not just to mention them once, or just to pass over them, or just to say, we'll have a 10-minute Bible study. Teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's another way of saying that that is supposed to be forefront in your life. The most important thing. Furthermore, he told them, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged that thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Listen, you can have a degree in Bible, and you can set it aside and close the pages, close the covers, and not study. And you will be surprised at how soon that information will go away from you. But we should also recognize that there are some things that no amount of study will reveal to us. No amount of study will reveal to us the secret things. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, we see that there were those who served God, who served God diligently, and unto them it was not revealed. They were able to prophesy. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who promised of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister those things. Oh, they desired to look into it. They wanted to. And it goes on to say, which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Listen, we have information that the prophets didn't have. We have situations which the angels wish to look into, and there are still some things that we're not to know. Deuteronomy 29:29 covers this. It tells us the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And a lot of people say, well, that must be one of the secret things. No, no, no. As we read on, we see, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You see, God has provided all the information, and the knowledge is out there. You just have to let it in. or you have to go out and seek it. You have to find it. The question then is, are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? You now have some knowledge. Perhaps you have knowledge of something that you didn't have when you came here tonight. The big question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to obey the Word of God? Are you going to become His child? You have opportunity to do so. For here in just a few moments, we will sing a song and offer the invitation. For one to respond to the invitation, they need to know what God would have them do. According to God's Word, Romans 10:17 tells us that we are to hear the Word of God. Acts 8:37 teaches that we are to believe it. Luke 13:3 and 5 points out the necessity of repentance. And Romans 10:9 and 10 tells us that we must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then to be baptized, washing away our sins, Acts 22:16, and then we're to remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10 points this out. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The erring Christian must return to God in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. You have knowledge now as to what to do to become a child of God. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.